Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Well, hello. This is Peter Leonard. And you are...
And...
Yes, and we also have Rich and Steve. Forgive us if the quality's a little different tonight. We're actually snowed in each other's houses tonight. So we're all broadcasting from different medias.
Yeah, it's interesting, Pete, because Steve lives in the northern part of the area. I live in the southern part of the area, and you live in the central part of the area. And we are all snowed in.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to get that snow, but apparently we are.
Well, it's not the snow so much. I mean, obviously, growing up in upstate New York, we're accustomed to it. But when they talk about freezing rain and rain and mixed with snow, then you're talking about some seriously dangerous conditions. So we try to avoid the roadways.
I don't want to have to investigate anybody on our group.
Well, no, not at all.
If I could, Rich, we're going to cut out, give everyone the telephone number. So if you want to call in and ask us some questions, please feel free to do so. And nothing's cooperating tonight.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
So, Rich, we have Thanksgiving coming up. Are you excited?
Oh, I am. I'm totally stoked. Football and turkey. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
There's got to be beer in there someplace, right?
Well, it's funny you mentioned beer as I'm sipping on a cold one here on this nice cold wintry night as I sit in my home office Skyping with you for the radio show. So, yeah, and of course in upstate New York we have all our own microbreweries and everything, and pumpkin ale is kind of my favorite this time of year. I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way, so.
Never been a fan of the pumpkin, though. But I have real soda, so it might be an interesting evening.
You've got real soda?
With real sugar.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Diabetic.
So, Pete, let's let everyone out there in the radio listening audience know that we are swamped. I mean, up to our eyeballs in cases. Consultations, investigations. We thought October would be the really hot month, but October was a month we did a lot of presentations, a lot of lectures. We visited many historical societies and did investigations, but now it seems that's generated a lot of new cases for us. And, I mean, I'm telling you, we're swamped. Never seen it like this. It's so late in the year.
Hey, what are you up to, 6 or 7 now? That are the birds.
And we're actually getting calls back from some of the places that we previously located because they've got some new activity going on they want us to come in and take a look at. So it's a good time of the year to be a paranormal investigator if you'd like to go out and investigate. A lot of great stuff going on.
Well, Christmas is paranormal. I mean, we all grew up watching the Dickens movie there, Christmas Story.
Yes.
I can't even think of what it's called. Oh, dear. The
well,
changed.
You know, it's funny you mention that because some of the Christmas shows are slightly paranormal in nature. I mean, the whole one with Scrooge, I mean, the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. I mean, that's, you know, you get away from Rudolph and Santa's coming to town and Frosty and you go to something like that. I mean, it's sort of bizarre if you think about it.
Well, that I know that used to scare me when I was a kid, the ghost of Christmas present. Oh.
Oh, I used to love watching that around Christmas when I was a little kid. That was awesome. Absolutely. But, you know, in other news, everyone knows that RIP not only does ghosts and other paranormal unexplained events, but we're also avidly looking into investigating sightings of Bigfoot. Now, I am, like, totally stoked about Bigfoot. It's one of my most favorite things in the world. And there's an article now on the Huffington Post that has some new evidence on Bigfoot.
Hmm.
Video evidence.
This is the year of Bigfoot. He's been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yeah, he's making an impact no matter where he goes. there is a group of researchers that claim that they have high-def videos of Bigfoot. Now, the thing about Bigfoot is you got to be careful. It really comes down to credibility. You know, a lot of times when we investigate the paranormal, as far as hauntings and things like that, we really take in consideration the credibility of the people who are telling us about the experiences. But when you talk about Bigfoot, I mean, there are so many people, I'm sure, that have gone on and faked it, made up stories, which makes you wonder that there's got to be some people that were credible there someplace. And there is an actual group that, and again, I don't know about the credibility about this, but they have a project. It's called the Sasquatch Genome Project. And on there, they've got three videos. They say are HD. However, these are shot in like 2005 and 2007. So I'm really not sure how good the quality of high def was back then. But essentially, you can look at these videos, and it shows one of Sasquatch sleeping on the ground. And you can watch him or her, not really sure what it is, breathe. You can see the chest go up and down. You can see all the structures, the fibers of the hair. Then there's another one where it shows one peeking around the tree, where you can look right at its face. You can see that it looks like an ape in origin. And then there's another one that shows a adolescent Sasquatch walking through the woods. So if you take a look at those, you make the choice of what you think is believable or not. But the article's on the Huffington Post, and it's entitled, Bigfoot Exists. Claim researchers who present high-def videos, did they deliver the goods? Now, of course, there's all kinds of controversy about this, as you can probably imagine. But again, if there's any credibility to this at all, this would be some really new compelling evidence that Bigfoot does exist.
On the site now, I'm also caught by one here. It says, what foods are irresistible to Bigfoot?
New York-style pizza, I can tell you that.
Beef steaks, too, right? Beef jerky and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Bigfoot thing myself, because when something like that passes away, where does the carcass go? I mean, if they're that big, surely... found one. That's my biggest hang up. It's like, where are the carcasses of them?
Not only that, Pete, that's a great point. Where are the dead Bigfoots? Where do they go? But how come people don't come across like piles of their dung someplace? You know what I mean? If they eat anywhere, so what these Bigfoot researchers say, animals and all kinds of fruit and vegetables and tree branches, whatever. You got to think that someone would step in a pile of Bigfoot dew someplace out in the woods. Just saying.
Christ, I haven't with my luck, but I've been reading an interesting book about the Nazis and belief in the occult. And one of the things that they really believed in, they spent a lot of money and a lot of time and expeditions into Tibet and everything looking for the Shambhala, which would have been a descendant, I guess, of the ancient Aryan race, which would be these very large creatures that live in the center of the earth. I mean, now I know I'm starting to sound like Vinny, but, you know, could that be actually Sasquatch or what we call Bigfoot? Do they really live in the center of the earth and that's why we don't ever see them? I mean, that's an interesting theory to pose, too, I guess.
But you know what, Pete? What's interesting about this is that they say they're such Neanderthal creatures. Like, if you come near them or if they feel threatened, they throw rocks and make grunts, howls, and knock on trees. They eat, you know, live or dead animals and tree branches. Yet, how are they so elusive? How have they developed the intelligence to basically not be photographed or sighted as much as they could be? Yet they're almost like a bear, intelligence-wise. They, you know, they hunt, they live off the land, yet they're so elusive, and they know where not to be found, where not to put their bodies, where not to poop so nobody can find it. I mean, does that make sense to you? It perplexes me. I just can't figure that out.
No, he's right up there with the sea monsters, like Champy and Loch Ness Monster. I mean... They appear to be there, but they know how to disguise themselves. Might be why they've survived for millions of years, then.
It could be. Could be an aspect of their intelligence that's kept them going for so long. But, again, you can't take away the fact that sightings of these things have gone back to to so many years in so many different countries. The Indians have sightings of them. American Indians, you've got sightings of them in Asia, all over the place. It's just too coincidental. Back then, people didn't have internet and telephone, and weren't traveling around telling each other about, you know, strange hairy creatures that walk around. So there's got to be some merit to what they're seeing.
Now, have you ever seen of the actual castings of their feet?
Only what I've seen on television and online.
I forgot who the gentleman was, but he had like three or four of them out on display. I think it was at Phenomenology in Gettysburg. They were probably about a foot wide.
Wow.
18 inches long. I mean, Bigfoot, I mean, they're really talking big. So if you extrapolate that, the size of that creature just based on the footprint, I mean, those things have to be ginormous.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I've talked to Bobo on the TV show Finding Bigfoot on the Animal Planet. He's one of the people I've been talking about working with to do lectures and different things like that. And one of the things he mentioned to me is he asked me if I wanted to come out to Northern California and go squatching with him. I so badly want to. I mean, I should cash in some of my free air miles and take a trip to Northern Cal up in the Sierras and do some squatching. But, I mean, that's something that to me would be like something I want to cross off my bucket list at some point.
Just make sure you bring a firearm with you.
Well, yeah. Or a big stick with a point on it.
A stick would work, yes.
Absolutely. Do we have Steve with us finally?
I think we do.
Oh, Steve!
Pete! Rich, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. We're scattered all over the place.
Oh, yes, we are, and I can't get my Skype to work. The only one that's working is on my desktop, and I don't have a microphone hooked up to that yet, so...
Gotcha.
I am stuck on the phone tonight in this wonderful, wonderful weather that we're having this evening.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm sort of digging the fact that I can sit in my my office here on my laptop with a nice cold beer with a big flat panel in front of me on the wall and Skype it and do the radio show. So that's kind of, I'm digging it, to be honest with you. But yeah, the weather here right now is crazy, folks. We're getting a storm that's worked up the East Coast, and it's wreaking havoc all up and down, and tonight's going to be probably the worst of it, I hope. Of course, tomorrow's the busiest travel day of the year, and I'm curious to see how that's going to affect all the traveling that's going to be going on, especially up in the Northeast.
I'm just hoping work gets canceled tomorrow. I'm like a big kid.
Hoping for a snow day, right, Pete?
I'll be out there with a plastic sled and everything.
Making those snowballs and stuff.
Well, I want to talk about one thing Rich mentioned, and this might spark some controversy, and I'll try to watch my mouth on this, because this really burnt my almonds this week when I read about it. I'm sure many of you out there heard or seen on the news, this group of paranormal investigators in the state of Louisiana broke into a 150-year-old mansion. Did you guys hear about this?
No, I saw your post on Facebook about it, but that's about it.
They broke into a mansion. They set up all their equipment. They stayed for a couple of hours, and nothing pretty much transpired while they were there. So out comes the beer, out comes the pot. They begin partying. At some point, they made the conscious decision to set the building on fire, and they burned it to the ground. Fortunately, they were all arrested. I'll watch my mouth as far as saying what should happen to them, but that pretty much, it's stuff like that that sets us behind 10, 15 years every time that stupid crap happens.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. It gives all of us a bad name. It really does.
You burn a place down. I mean, that's your solution to finding ghosts. There was nothing there. Burn the place down.
Unfortunately, that happens, and you know, like you, I have to wash my mouth. But that is sad.
And the reason I bring that up is Steve was actually nice enough to let this old timer go on a consultation Friday. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And every time I go back on a consultation, it reminds me of why we actually do this, why we started RIP, why we care so much about the paranormal. there really are people out there that need help. And that was just the reinforcement of it. And then when I see this mindless crap like this, it just leaves you speechless.
Where did this happen, Pete?
Louisiana.
Oh, there's some beautiful property down there, too. That's a shame.
I was happy to see Amy Bruni from Taps came out and condemned them pretty good. She was a lot nicer than I would have been as far as my comments to them. But, yeah, it's something that's definitely echoed through the community.
And did they have permission to be there, or did they break in?
No, they broke in.
See, that's not good either. Even if they didn't set the place on fire, which is a real tragedy, folks, don't break into properties to ghost hunt. Just because a place looks scary from the outside and you may have heard rumors doesn't necessarily mean there's any paranormal activity in there. Don't do anything stupid like break into the place, let alone drink and party and set it on fire. I mean, it's... I don't even know what to say to that.
I don't either. I really don't. I
I always worry about accidental fire. You know that I have 3 or 4 fire extinguishers in the car, and we always keep one near the monitors. And I mean, that is something, yes, you should always be conscious of, but I'm going to burn somebody's house down. At least not paranormal related. There might be other reasons, but not...
Well, anyways, you know those old properties are a lot of lath and plaster, and that's old, dried up, thin wood, and it burns quick and fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, if you set an old mansion like that on fire, you'd be quite surprised how fast that thing will light up.
Yeah, somewhere the only picture they showed that's left of it are, I believe, the 4 chimneys. The rest of the house was just lost.
Well, at least we know the chimneys work.
Credibility.
Absolutely. Big and look at the history lost. 150 years old.
They were all men. They ranged between 17 and 31.
You look at TV shows like Ghost Hunters and Haunted Collector and things like that, sort of set the precedence for how you conduct yourself an investigation, how you get permission to go to places, how you consult with the families or the property owners, how you share what you reveal. I mean, you think all these people who are now have paranormal groups, and many of them pretty much springed off the fact that they followed these shows and took an interest in it and formed their own group, that they would take some of the code of conduct that these guys have instilled on the shows and use that instead of doing this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, like I said, I'm just speechless with the whole thing. And even some of the worst shows, which I won't mention, even they, I don't even think they in their best day would burn a place down.
Are you talking about Ghost Adventures?
No, but that actually does show a different point of view and a different way of doing things. I mean, if that's your style, that's your style. But they still at least show a little bit of respect for the location.
Absolutely. And the shows like Ghost Adventures, I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, I've ran the gamut of watching most of them. And I pick up a little bit here and there from each and every show. And Ghost Adventures, one thing I liked about them specifically is they went to some really cool places I haven't seen exposed on other shows. And they really rely a lot on the technology aspect, and they have some really cool equipment, and they're not afraid to try new things out on the show. And that's what I think is kind of moving with that whole show. There's a few pieces of equipment that I have that I've seen on that show that I now implemented in my investigations. And Ghost Hunters is more about solid, basic, fundamental skills and using the tech equipment to go in and basically do a full-scale surveillance and try to debunk it. So each show has its, you know, any haunted collector going in with a little bit of each one and trying to find a specific object that holds the energy that's causing the paranormal or the haunting. So they each have their own different take on things, and each one should be appreciated and respected for what it offers.
And I know a lot of people don't buy into the haunted object thing, but I mean, I've seen it, not much, but I've seen it over the years. So something.
Well, Steve can tell you about the case the one we did in upstate New York where the object was there. Remember that one, Steve?
Yes, I do. If I'm thinking of the one you're thinking of, Rich,
was the shoe.
Please refresh my memory a little bit, will you?
The shoe.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, these are the people that were frightened into not using their home, and they called me back after we did the investigation, and they've taken the shoe out of the house. And when the shoe was out of the house, the activity had totally stopped. And then I told them to go ahead and now reintroduce the shoe and the objects back into the house, and it picked right back up. So, things like that do have an effect on your home if you find them in your walls or on your property. So,
and that is a unique phenomenon, apparently, to New England, is that they used to put an old shoe in the house. When they were building it or doing renovations, they would put an old shoe in the wall, some type of ceremony, or I forgot what the exact thing was, but it was to ward off some type of bad luck or spirit. Or I believe also they had a pair of scissors they found with the shoe.
I think so, too, yes. Yes.
Yes, and we asked them to remove both items from the home, and presto, the activity stopped. Again, a rare case that I've only seen once that I've come across. I mean, there's quite possibly we missed it in other investigations, but to be quite honest with you, we stumbled across that one, and that was a specific object, which gave a lot of validity to me to what John Zaffis does. When, you know, you watch him do it on the show, you hear him talk about it in person, but then you actually do it yourself and experience that same type of phenomena. You basically, you buy into it afterwards.
I'm glad that you mentioned John Zaffis. I just sent you a link, Rich. I saw this the other day floating around on Facebook, and I don't know how it's the first time I've ever actually seen it. I don't know if you've seen it either, Steve. It's a picture that was taken in the Amityville Horror House of a little boy that was allegedly captured on old 35mm film.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
I don't know if I've seen that, to be honest with you. I might have, but I can't remember it right offhand.
Wow.
That was kind of disturbing, if it's real.
That sends a chill right up my spine.
I mean, like I said, I haven't had a chance to do research if the picture was ever debunked as not being real or...
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you haven't seen it, Steve, but it's a picture of the staircase. And then in one of the doorways, all you can see is a head of... looks like a young kid with glowing white eyes. And it's... there's no mistaking. I mean, it's a human face.
Wow, that's got my hair standing up on my my arms. That's pretty wild.
And I know that was one of John's earlier cases, but that's that was a picture I can't believe I haven't seen all these years.
Now, see, I have to see that picture. Where did you find that picture?
I'll send you the link. But yeah, there's what they have is a cutaway picture of it. It shows the actual full shot, then a close-up of the face, and then a picture of the boy that was murdered. I did see on Facebook where somebody said that, I know people listening out there can't see this, but they said those aren't actually like glowing eyes. It's a reflection off of glasses, and it's mm-hmm. that of a girl. But I don't know if you can see that too, Rich. I don't.
Yeah, I see the white eyes, but so they're saying that that's actually like a reflection off of glasses, not the eyes being white.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that being plausible as an explanation for that. I mean, we always look to debunk things.
Well, the problem with Amityville is it's so controversial. I mean, you've got one school that says it's legit, and obviously the murders happened there and stuff. I mean, you can't dismiss that. That's fact. However, you know, there's a school that admits it was all a hoax as far as the hauntings. Nothing was ever found. Then you have people like Hans Hulser, and you have people like the Warrens who've investigated and came back and said that they believe it's built on an Indian burial ground, and that there's an angry chief or spirit there that's wreaking havoc on the home. So then again, Hollywood has blown this whole case so out of proportion with all the remakes. And of course, the best one I thought was with James Brolin and Margot Kidder. That was the scariest one by far. But yeah, it's an interesting case. I would personally like to see the house, but I think there's people living in it now, to be honest with you, and I don't think they have any problems whatsoever.
Again, I haven't really followed it, but someone told me they just tore it down, but I don't think that's true. I think they actually just sold it.
I actually think they changed the street name and everything that was associated with that house.
Yeah, I think they had to, because the fact that it was featured so much in Hollywood that people were going out there just to see the house itself. And
right.
Obviously that make people living there very, very uncomfortable, so.
Why can't we ever get good pictures like that?
That's pretty awesome, Pete. Wow.
Steve, I did send it to yourself.
You send it to my cell phone?
Yes, I don't know if you're calling in on your cell phone, but...
Let me see if I can... I turn my airplane mode on my cell phone.
Let's get the wow factor from Steve. Although I saw something, I don't know where it is, that might be the next installment of a Hollywood Warrens movie, the Amityville case. So we might get to see something equally as good as The Conjuring, perhaps.
You know what? I've still not seen that movie.
Really?
I have not watched it yet.
What movie is that?
The
Conjuring.
I seen that last week.
It's a good Christmas movie.
It wasn't that bad. It was pretty decent. It was decent.
Well, it freaked Dr. Dave out, I can tell you that.
Yes, I know it did. And you know, as I watched it, you know, I don't know if it's because I desensitized myself so much because, you know, I grew up on this stuff, you know, all kinds of scary shows. And I don't know if it's because I desensitized myself so much, but it really didn't freak me out.
I just got a kick out of it watching the technology that they were using back then and how far we really haven't come. I mean, other than digital cameras replacing film cameras, I mean, they went in, did the consultation, they had the reel-to-reel recorder, they took pictures, they had the video camera, they were measuring temperatures. So it just shows you that as far as we've actually progressed, we still use the old school methods.
You know, where do we go from here? That's a question now. We've been entertained for a number of years with numerous paranormal TV shows like Haunted Collector and Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International and Ghost Adventures and Ghost Mine and Deep South Paranormal and the list goes on and on. And many of them I watch and many I have not been able to because I'm just overloaded with TV right now. But where does the whole paranormal television mindset go from here? I mean, Ghost Hunters is on, what, season 9? That's a lot longer than I ever thought the show was going to make it. I mean, I'm impressed and I'm proud of the guys and the show. And Haunted Collector, not sure what's going on with that. Is that canceled?
I do hope it comes back. Being an antique lover, that was one of my favorite shows.
Right. I like the format because it's different. But where do we go from here? I see some of them are starting to, you know, kind of lose their steam, their momentum, if you will. You know, what's gonna be the next thing? Are we going to continue on this path and come up with some new concepts, you guys think? Or do you think the whole paranormal television thing has kind of ran its course?
I think maybe you're going to get maybe some new concepts. I think there's always going to be a market for some kind of a paranormal show because, you know, let's face it, everybody loves to be scared.
Absolutely.
So I think as time goes by, whether the genre is losing steam or not. Let's say all shows are gone, paranormal shows are gone from television. I don't see them staying off forever. If that happens, that's the worst case scenario. I believe at some point maybe they'll be back.
Yeah, but I look in my lifetime, you take the 1970s, I grew up watching Arthur C. Clarke, Nova. The UFO stuff was big in the early 80s.
The ghost
was always there. 90s took a little hiatus on the stuff, but you had the English stuff out there. There were a lot of the English paranormal shows, and I can't even remember their name right now, but there was that lady and gentleman that used to go everywhere. I think they went off the air in the early 2000s. And then you had the rise of TAPS and Ghost Adventures. I mean, if they do go off the air, where do we go? I mean, we've all talked about that. It's like, what can you do that's new? I think the only thing you could do is revisit the old stuff, the parapsychology of it.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, study the psychokinesis or psychokinetics and the feelings, if you will.
Well, and the thing is, there's a lot darker subject matter in the paranormal that really hasn't been touched. There are really no shows on the whole demonology thing. As far as, I mean, I'm talking outside of any specials that air on A&E or something like that, but or History Channel. The whole thing with demonology, I'm waiting to see if television and the media is ready for something like that. If they're ready to dabble with that subject matter, or if they find that the audience would be too scared out of it, or if maybe it has too many religious implications.
Well, I was excited a few years back. I believe it was on Discovery or something. They were going to air something called The Exorcist Files. I don't know if that ever even made it on TV. I think I saw one episode. It was on at like 1 in the morning. It was nothing that they had on prime time. So I don't know whatever became of that, if anything. But yeah, I mean, that's... I was excited for that because obviously it's dealing in only one thing. Demons.
Right. And then, of course, they had a UFO Hunter show on Sci-Fi. They have Finding Bigfoot now, which, by the way, I love that show. And I'm still waiting for them to actually get me some good evidence. But, you know, being a paranormal investigator, I know how it is. And also being a fisherman, I know how it is. You can have the best tackle, the best location, and show up at the best time and still not catch anything. You know, so it's a crapshoot every time we do an investigation. However... You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we've got the ghost stuff, the Bigfoot stuff, and the UFOs touched upon. Now, who's going to take it to the next level?
Have either of you gentlemen ever seen Fact or Faked?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
I kind of like that show myself, too. It gives a different spin. And they do cover everything in there, too. I think they do a little too much debunking, but that's just my personal opinion.
I've seen a couple of shows that were fairly decent, yes.
Josh Gates, I give a lot of credit to him. He's just crazy that you'd go in the Amazon or go to Chernobyl and do a paranormal investigation. I mean, hats off.
That Chernobyl investigation was absolutely wild. So, it was just, I really enjoyed that episode, to be honest with you.
That was ballsy. I mean, he would
have the nerve to do that? Exactly.
There was that island, too, with all the dolls or something in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was amazing.
And I kept saying to myself, please open your eyes. Please open your eyes. Hey, I grew up watching the movie Chucky, so I'm naturally afraid of dolls, all right?
Well, you're in for a treat because there's a new Chucky movie out, isn't there? Or just came out a little while ago? Probably out on DVD already.
It probably is.
Did he take on Jason?
No, that would be the ultimate movie. Michael Myers versus Jason versus Chucky versus Pinhead.
Versus Freddy Krueger, right?
We killed him off already. Jason hacked off his head. He's done.
Pinhead, you know what? I have never seen any of those movies. Those Pinhead movies.
Wow. I will be honest, too. I've only seen, like, three of the Jason movies.
And I've seen them all.
I've seen probably pretty much of them all. Yeah, I think I've seen them all.
It's great entertainment. Where else can you see half-naked girls, college girls, running around with a guy with a ski mask chasing them, threatening to kill them? I mean, come on. You got to appreciate that kind of that horror. You know, it's a very simple concept. You don't have to think too hard into it. Some of these horror movies are very complex, you know, and you got to think. These are just like, well, here comes Jason. You know what he's going to do. Now you just got to figure out how they're going to kill him once again. Very simple.
Well, if any college girls want to experiment making a movie, we are available. We don't charge.
Oh, no. Oh, here we go.
The B movie. Well, David has that new camera. The doctor spent all that money buying that new camera for us to use. We might as well put it to work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he just needs to bring the cameras and some media with it. A couple times he had it. It's like, hey, we gonna use that, Dave? Well, I don't have a battery for it or any media to use. Oh, okay. Then why do you have it here? Oh, to show everyone. Cool.
We're getting there.
It is a pretty sweet camera. I mean, that's something that we could really use when we do some of our public investigations and lectures. It makes some really good footage.
Hey, if they can make a movie called Sharknado and everybody in this country...
Sharknado?
Don't tell me you haven't seen Sharknado.
I have not. No.
You're not in on that? Oh, dear. I haven't seen it either, I'll be honest, but I've heard many people talking about it.
I don't think I will be watching Sharknado.
The tornado sweeps up a bunch of sharks and drops them on people or something or other.
Very nice.
I guess that would be cryptozoology at that point.
Yeah.
So we got you on.
I'll pass on that movie, Pete.
So we got you on the line here, Steve. I think you missed the first part where we were giving you praise for the 6 or 7 cases you're handling right now.
Yes, we are going to be quite busy the next few weeks. I am going to be calling a client tomorrow and setting up an investigation for this weekend.
Nice.
If I can get a hold of our other client in Ilion, I will be setting an investigation up the following week. Now, after that, we have got a ton of consultations that we have to get done. And I'm going to try to make them for starting the second week of December and going on from there.
Very nice.
I know, you'd think this is unusual, the winter time, and we're getting all these
cases. This is absolutely, I like it. I really enjoy doing this, so this is really great. But this is the first winter since I've been with the organization that we've been this busy.
And these aren't local either. This is like within a 60-mile radius of us. I mean, they're all, some of these are pretty far out there. And if you drag one like you did 2 years ago when I had to drive up that mountain in the snowstorm.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I remember that. And we listened to Coast to Coast or whatever it was all the way up. I'm telling you, it was crazy.
Yeah, actually,
and then one side, and we kept going up the hill, up the hill, up the hill, and it just didn't stop.
Yeah, actually, if you remember, I was getting infuriated listening to whatever show it was because they had a group of ghost hunters on there talking about how they were jerking around and doing everything in the person's house. They were running around.
Yes. No, it was a local show. That's right. Wasn't it a Syracuse show? Or an Albany show or New York show? Some one of those. And yeah, I remember. That was a good investigation, though, if I can remember it correctly. It was quite interesting.
I don't think I was in that particular investigation. However, I remember the one we did. It might have been January up at the Halbert House. When we left, it was like 31 below zero or something like that. I started my vehicle, let it warm up for like 25 minutes. And we left. As I headed home through God knows what town I was in, it got down to minus 44 below zero.
Yeah, you'd think there's something wrong with us that we need to be out in weather like that.
Isn't that the investigation where the fire department opened up all the water things there?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
That night.
And my gas tank froze. I worried that I didn't have any gas on the way home. Proper gas for a vehicle. I always need gas. As evidenced by the Saturday Night Live clip that Rich posted to our Facebook page, saying that it reminded him of me.
Oh, that was absolutely hysterical.
Oh, no. That's not what I said. I don't think I called you out.
I only farted once, you know. Never in a client's home.
Well, I can't take credit for the video discovering it. Someone sent it to me, and I watched it. I said, oh, my God, we've got two thermal image cameras. We got to try this experiment. And that's why I shared it with Pete. And then I put it on the RIT website. I can't believe I never saw that, to be quite honest with you. It was hysterical.
Yeah, I believe on a thermal it probably would show some type of temperature differential.
Yeah, I would think it would.
You know.
We should add that to our presentation and put that as the beginning.
If that actually happens, yes. I mean,
that'd be great. That'd be funny.
Put a little baby powder in my underwear, and then you'd get the physical cloud if that's what you wanted.
No, that's definitely what we don't want. I mean, I've gone through some of my audio before, and I've discovered some strange noises that I think were attributed to somebody's belly, either stomach grumbling or passing a little gas. Or it could be something paranormal. Who knows? Well, yeah, those Tascams we have are pretty sensitive. They can pick up stuff. So if you're around us investigating, we got a Tascam, you're going to be making some bodily noises. You better conceal it because we'll pick it up.
Speaking of the Tascam, I guess I should take over for the doctor here tonight and give something technical.
Sweet.
At our last meeting, we talked about the Tascam attachment for the iPhone to turn your iPhone into a high-end digital recorder. I ordered one of them, so I can't really tell you how it works just yet. It ended up costing about $32 with shipping and handling. And basically, it's got the dual speaker, or microphone, I should say, and it plugs in the data port, I guess it would be called, on your iPhone, and a quick app, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I actually downloaded the app today onto my phone, and the Tascam app. So you can actually use that app with the built-in microphone that's on your iPod or your iPhone, and you can share your files to SoundCloud, or you can also save them as WAV files, .WAV files, and then I think you can pretty much email them or send them off to somebody if you want to put them on your computer, run through like Audacity or something like that.
And that's a really neat little pocket thing. You could keep one in the car. I mean, a lot of times we do consultations. We don't bring in a lot of equipment, but that's only just to run out to your car if you need an actual recorder. I mean, it's compact and easy to go.
It's now, in your pocket.
Now, Rich, Saturday you showed me another app that you were using on your cell phone for audio. I couldn't remember what that was called.
Well, there's actually two apps that I've discovered. I was talking with Chris Moon on some of his investigation, asking him what kind of, you know, mobile tech stuff he uses during investigation, and has he found anything that sort of works. There's two apps he directed me to. One is called Noisebox. It's produced by a group called Skunk Brothers. And essentially, it's a free app, but there's a little bit of advertisement on the bottom of it. And it allows you to do different colored noises. Like you got white noise, red noise, blue noise, purple noise, violet noise. And essentially, it just fills the immediate local area with a white noise effect. So if you're trying to do some kind of communication, maybe they can't hear auditory response from people, but they can pick up on the electronic hissing of the white noise. Dave can probably explain a lot better than I can. He's showed me some applications where he felt that the white noise could be beneficial to paranormal investigating. The other app is called HT Recorder. HT Recorder is an app that you have to buy. It's only like $3. But it's kind of like the Tascam thing, and it allows you to set different rates for your recording. So you can do like, you know, close-up recordings. You can do distance recording so it can pick up something from a distance. You can, you know, blank out dead time. You can change different editing rates. There's a lot of different things that you can do. Speeds, you can save things, you can export the files. It's just kind of a nifty little recorder that I tried. And I talked to Chris Moon, and he's used it, and he said he's got some good results with it. So just two little mobile phone things that you can add. They may be available for the Android also, but I've got the iPhone, so that's where I found them.
Yeah, usually if they're available on one, they have some type of counterpart, even if it's not the same thing. I mean, I spent, when I was in the emergency room, I spent a good hour just looking through apps, and I couldn't believe how many there were out there for ghosts. I was almost tempted to download the Ghost Radar. I'll be honest with you. I know everybody laughs about that one, but I see so many people use that when we do the public events, and you just hate to break it to them. It's like,
I think that would go along with, you know, you wouldn't want to really break it to them, you know, just let them go ahead, you know, during a public investigation, because they're there to have fun, and I think, you know, this is my view, you know, just let them go ahead and have their fun.
It's not a thing sometimes.
It's all about the fun factor with you, huh, Steve?
Well, you know, now if they were to join the group, then you would have to break it to them and say, you know, that app you have on your phone for the ghost, well, you know, it's really not that good.
Right. Well,
but
you know,
but for somebody that has paid their money, mm-hmm. and they're just there to have a good time and maybe think they caught something, or maybe they think they hear something, or maybe they do, and maybe they did. It's a good time for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, people get excited when we do the public type events. They, you know, they want to experience something for themselves so they can step out of that skeptic box and sort of become a believer. But folks, like Pete said, there are some inexpensive ways for you to use your own mobile device as an audio recorder during investigations.
Absolutely.
We've purchased some more expensive type devices, some high-end Tascam recorders and things of that nature, which have greater sensitivity, higher sampling rates. However, these devices work very well. You can buy one for a couple bucks through the App Store for the HT recorder, or you can download the Tascam one for free. And like Pete said, there is a microphone that you can buy that plugs right into the charging port of your phone. And you can use that microphone instead of using the one that you actually have in your phone. Pete, where did you get your mics from?
I bought it right off Amazon.
Okay. BH Photography is another good place, too, as well, that has that kind of stuff. And they have different ones. They have $20, $50, and they got ones for like $70, $80. If you're going to buy the ones at $70, $80, you might as well almost invest in a whole new audio recorder, to be quite honest with you.
Exactly.
I know. I had to use that gift card up, you know.
Oh. Very nice. Very nice.
But, yeah, I mean, one other thing. What was I going to say? Well, we have right now another 5 applications in for people looking to join the group. So, I mean, that's also on the rise for us. Seems like more and more people, as the word spreads, that they want to get in on it.
Well, I think you and Steve can contest to this as well. We're a good group of people. We're very friendly. We're very social. We all share a common interest. and goal of the paranormal, the education of it, helping people, you know. And when we have get-togethers with the group, we usually have a pretty good time. I mean, there's usually no heated discussions or anything like that. You know, Dr. Dave and yourself started this group, you know, 10 years ago and did a wonderful job with it. Steve and I have helped to try to grow it and tune it so that we can obviously be more involved, get more public notoriety so that we can be involved in more cases and help more people. You know, and I'm pretty happy the way things have gone with the group so far.
Well, and I posted on Facebook during the week, and I mean it. I mean, I'm happy about all of the new associate members that are in training. I mean, I pretty much trust anyone on the group that they can go into someone's house and lead a consultation right through an investigation. I mean, I think that just says something about who we are.
I think so, too.
And the parties, again. The parties are phenomenal.
the party.
I have gained over 20 pounds since I joined the group. Thanks, guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, blame that on us. Yeah,
I did. That. I just did.
blame that on Dr. Dave when we have the meetings at his house and he has all that good food.
Dr. Dave and Stacy are two prime suspects of my weight gain.
I think so. Not only do they sneak the food in, and Pete makes a contribution with some delectable dish that he cooked
absolutely.
Up himself. It's high in calories, of course. And then, of course, Stacy slips in, did you try these cannolis? Did you try these cookies?
Doesn't she make, the best desserts in the world, I'll tell you.
Well, I think so. And I think she does a lot of her experimenting on her desserts on us. And, of course, I've not had a bad one yet. So, yeah, tell me about it.
Oh, it's all good. Someday you'll have diabetes like us. No.
God, I hope not.
No, that's not on my plans.
But everyone out there listening, Pete's got the best cookout. I mean, he's got the best cookout with the best kielbasas. The hamburgers were a little bit of a challenge, but I was watching you cook them, and I don't know what happened to the grill. It caught on fire or something like that. Those patties looked a little burnt, but everything was great. He's a wonderful host. And, of course, the St. Patrick's Day party was amazing with the corned beef and everything. Oh,
wasn't that good.
What can I say? I can cook.
You can, sir. You are a chef, and you even wrote a cookbook too. Tell the audience about that.
I wrote a cookbook. No, it's called Dad's Rome Cooking. It's all the old family recipes from both sides of the family. Nothing in there is healthy. All of it will lead to diabetes and other problems. It's so good. Those are the old school recipes. Like if you look at one of Mom's dessert recipes, it usually starts out with 8 cups of sugar and 3 sticks of butter. So right off the bat, how can it be bad?
Well, yeah. I mean, a pound cake is a pound of butter. Nowadays, a pound cake is preservatives and Splenda and all kinds of artificial things added to it.
There we go. We should do a paranormal cooking show.
There you go. Sci-Fi Channel, look out.
Cooking with the paranormal. There you go.
Ghost grillers.
Ghost grillers. I like that one.
Someone touch with Gordon Ramsay. Hurry up.
Right. Now that guy I would punch out.
No.
Oh, I would knock his ass. I would knock his rear end out. Absolutely. That guy gets on my nerves. I don't know how you guys can watch that show.
I have never seen it. Everybody, you know, in the group saying, "Oh, you got to watch Gordon Ramsay. He gets in the face of these people and he just tears them down." Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, it's nothing to do with the paranormal, but I used to like American Idol for the same reason, just to watch the guy make fun of people. I mean, it was just
Simon, yeah, he's ruthless.
Yes. Some people need to hear the truth. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete.
That's
I agree.
Coming up next on Pistols and Puppies with Steve Roscoe. I forgot. I thought we were on the political show right now. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's okay.
We don't
do political shows, do we? No.
Your Facebook is just like that, Pistols and Puppies.
You know, that's every time I go to post something on Facebook now, I think of Pete. Because Pete's the one that says, you know, Steve, I don't know if we should worry about you or not, because every time I go to your Facebook page, it's nothing but pistols and puppies.
I'm a dog lover, and I'm a pistol owner and gun lover, so, hey.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't bother me at all.
I'm just waiting for the pictures of the puppies holding pistols.
You know, I actually had one time of a German Shepherd with a sniper rifle.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a bit scary, isn't it?
That's all we need.
Typical, too, German with a sniper rifle? Come on.
I know. But I had a cute little caption on there, you know, so I had to post it.
Gentlemen, you have more interesting stuff on yours than I have on mine, so.
We're getting near that time, gentlemen. Do we have anything on the immediate future? I know I'm working on some stuff upcoming for the spring. Looking to get us into phenomenology.
Oh, nice.
There's a couple of small paracons coming up in New York. There's one in Fort Niagara, and then again at Lake George.
Nice.
Both put on by John Tobin, so those should be pretty good events. Like I said, we're working on a couple things with some para-celebrities, hopefully, maybe. Something a little fun.
Yeah, we got our irons in the fire, a few things we're working out. We're taking our time, and we're not going to divulge anything just yet until we get some certainty, so.
Then I'll wait to January and start working on Halloween for next year.
There you go. Oh, perfect. Boy.
It comes really quickly.
You know. Yes, it does. It kind of sneaks up on you.
Yes. Once you get past that Easter, it just moves fast. Really eating holiday between Easter and Thanksgiving. So, I mean, it's the long haul for us diabetics.
Oh, boy.
You want to see paranormal? Give that kid sugar. Well, I guess we can wrap it up at this point. I would like to wish everyone out there a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone and everyone's family. And everyone have a safe journey this season with the weird, treacherous weather we have. And we look forward to seeing everyone out there in the listening audience to one of our upcoming public investigations and events.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, and if I don't see you gentlemen, I'd wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Pete. Rich, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You too, guys. All the best to you.
So, in 2 weeks, we shall meet again.
We shall be here.
Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And I'm Steve Roscoe.
And we thank you for listening.